Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. This is Anne. I'm so excited for you to get to know Coach Jean. I'll be interviewing her today on body image. And this is a topic that's really close to Coach Jean's heart, and so I'm excited to hear what she has to say. Coach Jean started coaching for Betrayal Trauma Recovery the fall of 2018, and so far we've been so grateful to have her. She's really helped bring peace to the women in Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group and also the women who work with her in individual sessions. Coach Jean does individual sessions with women about body image and also talks with women in her group sessions. Welcome, Coach Jean.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
In general, why do you think that women struggle with body image issues?
I heard someone say the other day that a woman growing up in today's society is to have body image issues. It's just almost synonymous. And I think there's several reasons for that. One is so obvious. It's our media. We're so inundated with the definition that the media gives us for beauty. I've read that we can see up to 4,000 images a day between advertisements, TV, Facebook, billboards. And like back in the 70s, it was like 500 images. And even 500 seems a lot. So you can just see that we're inundated with what we're supposed to look like. And in reality, only 1% of the population actually has the perfect model body. And as we all know, those are then airbrushed before they even reach the media for our eyes to consume. So that's a huge part of it. I also think that it's important to look at how beauty was defined for you in your formative years by family of origin, friends, from schoolmates. That's really valuable. And then to look at how you were wounded in those areas. Body image wounds tend to follow a theme and sometimes tend to follow us through life. And if there's one other area, I would say, I believe that God has created women to have a deep desire to be seen as beautiful. And that's not just an outward beauty. It's just the beauty of who we are as wives, as mothers, the beauty that only a woman can bring to the world. But the evil has just so distorted that and abused that and just made it all about outward beauty. And I just feel like we as women are so under attack today.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that in my life. Comparing myself to media images that I see and other people around me is difficult. And I know that you want to talk about that a little bit later. And there's also this betrayal piece that is really intense, that really harms women's body image. What is it about betrayal that drives these messages so much deeper? And how did it affect you personally?
Anybody that's been through betrayal, which is much of our listening audience, we all can say so intimately and personally what betrayal does to us, but it's really a complete and outright assault on who we are as women in every area of our lives. It's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional. And I believe it's the most intimate betrayal of all. But speaking of body image issues, it's actually a betrayal of our bodies. So of course we take that personal. Of course, that's going to affect our body image. And it can drive those messages from our childhood, those wounds from our past, just so deep into the core of our being. And the sad thing, too, is that I feel like before betrayal, there might be some things that we actually felt good about our bodies, that we felt confident about. And then betrayal actually attacks those as well. Those old wounds are opened up. And then we receive new wounds. Part of the healing process of working through betrayal trauma is really beginning to understand that sexual betrayal is not about us and it's not about our bodies. And at first, that's so hard for women to accept and believe. But again, that's part of the healing process. You know, you mentioned that comparison has been a problem for you. And boy, can I ever agree with that in my own life, comparison has been something I've struggled with. For a while, it was difficult for me to be in public, either with my husband or without him. So yeah, when I would see attractive women in public, I felt incredibly traumatized by that. And I literally felt like my husband had just 5 minutes before that had had sex with that woman, and then the next one, and the next one. And it really was difficult for me to go out into public for a while and watch TV because I just felt like I did not measure up. Then another area that it affected me as far as body image is after moving through a little bit of recovery process, once my husband and I began to become intimate again, it literally took me 6 months, Anne, before I could completely participate in intimacy unclothed because I was just so traumatized and felt so negative about my body.
It's really difficult. With that, what are some of the common messages women believe after betrayal? And do you think these messages that they either tell themselves or they hear from other people are contributing to their trauma?
Yeah, the messages that they tell themselves, I think they fall into two different categories. And they're either that I'm too much or I'm not enough. Like I'm too big, too small, too flabby, too old, too much cellulite, too tall, too short. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. It just falls into too much or not enough. And I think it also goes back and dredges up those wounds, those body image wounds that we've had earlier in our life. As well, as I said before, it creates brand new wounds, areas in our life that we felt confident in are now attacked. And absolutely the things that people say to us, our husbands or other people, then just is an additional wound on top of that.
I'm in the too much category, but I've had more about my personality than my body image. Like my personality's too much, you know? So what are some ways that you personally have begun to change your body image issues?
I will admit that it is definitely still a struggle for me. It's kind of an ongoing battle, but I've also made a lot of progress in a lot of areas. And there's a couple different things. One is becoming aware of our negative body talk that often is just this dialogue that goes on in our head that we're not even aware of, and really beginning to work on gaining what I like to call body confidence. And one of the ways for me personally that really helped is, and I'm going to say this and people are going to go, oh yeah, isn't that just the answer to everything? But for me, this made a huge difference, and it truly was gratitude. When we're really grateful, that helps us really squelch that comparison trap that we can get into. And also, as I said before, understanding the wounds of our past through body image, because much of the time, those follow a theme. And if I could just share a little personal story of something that happened to me as a middle schooler, I can illustrate this. When I was in middle school, I was not in the popular crowd, right? I was shy and reserved and quiet, and I just didn't quite fit in. One of the popular boys who has this little entourage of cronies that followed him around, he decided one day that he needed a new girlfriend. And so he sent one of his little cronies to me and another girl separately, saying that this popular boy was going to decide between the two of us and choose a new girlfriend. And it's so funny because he didn't ask me if I wanted to be. He just assumed that I would just willingly love this great honor, right? And so this crony told me, I'll come back to you in a couple of days after he's made his decision. And so honestly, I truly did not want to be his girlfriend because I was quiet and shy and that just freaked me out. But I was just so flattered that somebody had noticed me. And oh my goodness, somebody noticed me. So about 2 days later, he came back and he said, well, he's made a decision. He's chosen her over you. And part of me was just so relieved because I didn't want to be his girlfriend. But the next thing he said to me was, he chose her because she has bigger boobs. And right there in that moment, I made a mental agreement with that. And I saw her as more valuable than me. And then the sad thing that I did, Anne, is I actually said out loud to him, that's okay, I understand. I made this agreement that she was more valuable because of her breast size than I was. And one of the ways that gratitude helped me work through that is I carried that wound for years and years and years. And later in my adulthood, one of my really good friends had a mastectomy. from breast cancer, and she was very open about her procedure, and I was visiting her one day, and she asked me if I wanted to see her scars. That was a real holy moment for me. First of all, that my friend would invite me into that pain to see those scars, but in that moment of seeing that, oh my goodness, I was like, oh, I need to be so grateful, not just for that part of my body, but for all of my body. So that was in a profound impact on me. So I really began that grateful journey of being thankful for my body. And one of the ways, though, that really propelled that healing forward for me is I had for years bought the at a cup size bras, right? I'm not condemning those bras for anyone out there, but for me personally, my own personal journey, I got to a point where I threw those all away. That was a huge step of healing to realize that I am not going to use these for me personally. That was a real confirmation that I had made progress in that area and that I really was truly being grateful for the body that I have.
Absolutely. That's an awesome story. I love that you threw your bras away. That makes me really happy. I don't wear a bra most of the time, as you guys heard. If you listeners haven't heard my bra fitting episode, it may or may not be triggery, but I wore the bra that I got in that bra fitting episode for, I don't know, like a week maybe, and I haven't checked back in. I'm back to not wearing a bra.
Well, and if I could add to another area that I worked through is I started saying some believable affirmations to myself. For example, another area of body image that I've struggled with is my legs. And I'm a runner. I love to go for a run in the morning, but I was so critical of these legs that took me for a run. And then one day, another little short story is I was getting out of my car in a parking lot, and I see a woman and three or four kids getting out of a car, and they're helping her with the wheelchair. And she gets out and slides into the wheelchair, and she has only one leg. Oh, and again, I'm standing there thinking, you know what? I just went running this week, and I'm so critical of my legs. This woman would just love to have my legs that have cellulite. So another step of realizing to be grateful. And then would you believe, and like probably a year and a half later, I'm at the same parking lot. It was Target. I get out of my car. I see that same woman getting out of her car again, and this time both of her legs are gone. And oh my goodness, I'm like, how can I ever complain about my legs again? And so I began, like I would get out of the shower and I would see my legs in the mirror. I appreciate my legs. They have served me well. I just went for a run this morning. And so believable affirmations and being aware of that negative body talk and then really affirming those parts of the body that we've been attacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that story reminds me of my son. So he's 9 now, and we get a pass to an amusement park and a water park that are right near our home. It's like 5 minutes away from where we live. And he said to me one day, Mom, I don't like going to this water park because so many of the women are in swimming suits, right? In bikinis specifically. He's like, they're in bikinis and I have to look at them and I feel uncomfortable. And I said, because I don't want to stop doing things with my kids, right? Because there's people there. So I want my kids to be able to go places and do things and enjoy things. He specifically said, they wear these bikinis that show their stomachs. And I said, you know, what do you think their stomachs are for? And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, why does a woman have a stomach? And then I said, what would happen if a woman didn't have a stomach? And he was like, oh, well, she wouldn't be able to eat. And I said, yeah, what are her legs for? And he was like, oh, what would a woman be without legs? And he's like, oh, they couldn't walk. And I said, yeah. And I took it through basically every body part. And what about their arms? What are their arms for? Oh, yeah, they need to move it around. I said, so when you see a woman in a swimsuit, I don't want you to think that the reason they have a stomach is for you to look at it. The reason they have a stomach is so that they can eat and move. And so they have a torso, right? And he just turned on a dime. He was like, Mom, that makes so much sense. I said, even their breasts have a purpose. You know, babies eat. That's how babies eat, right? I've taught him that. And then also that we need to give people who aren't dressed their privacy. So it's his responsibility to turn his eyes away if someone isn't properly dressed. give them their privacy. But I thought this is a good lesson that we need to teach our sons, that the reason women have body parts is for the woman. You have legs so that you can walk, so that you can run, so that you can go to the grocery store, so that you can be a wonderful person. That's why you have arms and legs. That's why you have a stomach. That's why you have a head. You do not have a body just so people can look at it. Your body is for you.
That is so powerful. And I think that really helps us to not objectify women. We as women can sometimes objectify other women as well. And that's powerful.
Yeah. So this question follows that idea. How can we begin to see ourselves as more than just our outward appearance?
That really does hold the key to our stories, because as we age, this battle over our appearance is just going to get worse, because our beauty is going to decline. Or is it? Because I believe that our true appearance, which involves inside and outside, who we are, who we show up to be, actually can become more beautiful as we age. Because think about our wisdom, our life experience, confidence, accepting ourselves, becoming less judgmental, life experience and how that changes us. I just believe that as we age, we can become a more beautiful person. And you had your mom on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I've never seen your mom or met your mother. But what a beautiful person she came across as in the podcast, just full of wisdom and kindness and compassion. That's what really true beauty is. It's a combination of who we are, and it comes out in our appearance. And that's what really people see.
Absolutely. One of the most intense emotional abuse episodes that happened with me was when my ex told me very calmly that he had been lying to me every time he said I was beautiful, that I was not beautiful, and that he couldn't lie anymore. And I said to him, "That's not true. I am beautiful. You're full of crap." And he said, "Well, I just mean your personality makes you ugly." And that hurt more than anything, because it was like, wait a minute, so you physically think I'm cute or whatever, but now you're saying that you really genuinely hate me. You know, that's basically what he was saying. That was a few months before his arrest, but things really took a turn after that. I was like, if he is willing to just not acknowledge in any way, shape, or form that, like, he appreciates me as a human being, because that's basically what it's saying to a woman if you tell her, no, you're not beautiful, right? It's saying your personality, your wisdom, your strength, I don't like anything about you. And I think he said it on purpose to really, really hurt me, and never took it back, never really acknowledged that it happened. And then when I told other people he had said that, he gaslit me and said, no, that's not what happened. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant. And I was like, that's exactly what you said and exactly what you meant. And never took accountability for it or did anything about it. And then eventually, you know, now we have no contact. But I think about that and how I fought him basically and said, that's not true. I am beautiful. And if you don't think I'm beautiful, then that's your problem. Like, you've got a serious problem that you hate your wife, apparently.
So I want to add something too. Something I read was seeing your body as a container and a vehicle. So reframing our thoughts that our bodies are really a container for our EQ, our emotional intelligence, our IQ, which is our intelligence, our GQ, which is our gut and our intuition, which as betrayed women has been so damaged, right? And as we go through this journey and gain that back and we become empowered and we speak our truth, find our voice, that can be such a powerful thing. And also seeing our bodies as vehicles of takes us for a run, right? All of our gifts are expressed through our bodies. So if we play the piano or we're an artist, an athlete, our bodies is how we express our gifts. It's our container. And then for women of faith to realize that bodies is actually the container for God's spirit. And if we can begin to believe how valuable he says we are, that he calls our body his temple and he dwells in us. Wow. That to me is just so, so powerful. So if we can begin to stop viewing our bodies as the enemy and start viewing our bodies with love and respect, how would we show up differently if we truly believed that who we are is actually what truly makes us beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, Jean, you have so much wisdom about body image. If a woman chooses to do a one-on-one session with you on body image, what can she expect?
Well, one of the things that we're going to look at is our thoughts. As I said, that negative body talk, what's that dialogue, that silent dialogue that's going on in your head that you're not even aware of? Because if we can change our thoughts about our body, it's going to begin to change how we feel about it. It's going to change our actions, and then it's going to lead to the results, and we're going to show up differently. We're definitely going to work on the gratitude and the how does God see us piece, but that sounds all really great. How are we going to do that? Well, one of the things is to, as we're becoming aware of that negative body talk, we're not going to try to change that right off the bat. We're going to just kind of do a brain dump and write down the negative things that we say that we're not even aware of as we're getting ready in the morning. Just becoming aware of those, writing them down. So we're going to look at how beauty was defined for you as a child and how you were wounded, and what agreements you made with those wounds. Grieve those. And then make a simple timeline about our wounds, because often what you will see is our wounding has a theme. And then take it right into your betrayal story. Because not only are your old wounds torn open again, you're receiving brand new ones. And really look at that and grieve that. And then we're going to think about how we can reframe that, how we can come up with a new vision. We're going to look at a woman's if-thens. And the if-thens are this: if only I was thin, then my husband would love me. Or if only I looked like that porn star, then he would stop looking at porn. We're going to look at our if-thens and we're going to change them to I ams. Like, I am grateful for my legs because they have served me well. And we're going to cross out those old messages that we've written down, and we're going to come up with new believable affirmations. And then I think, again, back to the gratitude thing, the gratitude is just so important to help us not only squelch the comparison, but really begin to accept our bodies as they are. And then another thing, if we are women of faith, I just think scripture is so powerful to look at scripture, to see who God says we are, like Psalm 139. It's a beautiful passage that talks about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Other scripture talks about we're the apple of his eye, that he sings over us, that we're his beloved. So that's a huge piece of it as well. If we can ask, if I was truly grateful for my body and believed that who I am and who I'm becoming is what really makes me beautiful, how would I show up differently? What would I do? What would that give me the courage to accomplish? Really develop that body confidence and have that vision of, wow, how would I be different if I felt differently about my body and who I am? There's a journal out there called One Line a Day. It gives you a couple of lines for each day of the year where you can just write things that you're grateful about. And I think that could be super powerful. And another book that I'm currently reading is called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. And it's not about body image, but it's about being grateful. It is written from a Christian perspective. So if people are interested, that is a really powerful book. And just one last quote to leave you with. It's a quote by Dr. Seuss that I actually printed out and put on my wall. And it's, "Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." And I just love that because it just speaks to me. There's nobody else like me, so be me. And that's what I say, be yourself, because everyone else is taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true. In you talking about this, it's bringing up so many issues that I have. And I've always had really solid body image. My family was very focused on appearance in a good way. Like, they always told me I was beautiful. So I never doubted that I was physically beautiful. But what I doubted was that my personality was too much. And one of my woundings is a man said to me, "You are the ideal physical person. Do you think if I was your boyfriend that your personality might change?" And then I remember a few other of those types of woundings with me. It was like, you're beautiful physically, but like your personality kind of ruins it. you know? And so I just am thinking about all the different ways that body image intersects with the wounds that we have. And for me, instead of focusing on my body, like worrying about it, I went the opposite way where I don't wear makeup. I don't wear a bra. I don't want to look beautiful because it's almost like I want my outward appearance to match my personality. I don't know. I don't know what my thoughts are, but like I'm in the self-care phase of trying to figure all this out right now. And I'm really grateful for the thoughts you shared because it's made me really think about where I stand on all this and why self-care is so hard for me because I just don't want to be like, oh, well, she's beautiful, but she's kind of a pain.
You can see just the little bit you shared there, how your wounding has a theme to it. And I think that is so true.
And I've never thought about that before. I'd never thought about all those different woundings where it was like, you're such a beautiful person. Why don't you put more makeup on, or this or that? I remember going shopping with my mother-in-law because I had a speaking engagement. And she wanted me to wear all this glitzy stuff. And the outfit that I picked out was very plain. And she said, why? It's so plain. And I said, because I don't want my outfit to take away from my personality. I want my personality to be the thing that shines through. I've become kind of, I think, defensive about that. And also wanting to have a voice. And I think a lot of women are struggling in so many different ways. And I love being able to explore this with you here on the podcast, and also for you to be able to explore this in group sessions and in individual sessions with our clients. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
We'll be having Coach Jean come back on the podcast next week to talk about victim blaming examples. So stay tuned for that. We are always adding new sessions to our Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group. Coach Jean covers some of our Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group's sessions, as well as all the coaches that work at BTR. To see the Betrayal Trauma Recovery Group session schedule, go to btr.org and click on any button that says Daily Support Groups. If this podcast is helpful to you, please make a recurring donation. Go to our website, scroll down to the bottom, and click on the button that says Make a Donation. Also, every single one of your ratings on iTunes or Google Play or any of your podcasting apps increases our search engine rankings and helps women who are isolated find us. So please be of service to victims all over the world and give us a rating. Until next week, stay safe out there.